but you'll be, you're gonna, let's do Tamasville and then we'll do yours. It's not gonna take a long time. Mm-hmm. For your bill, I would like Tim here, so. I want Tim here for your bill. Alright, you ready? Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Job Growth, Energy Affordability, Policy and Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, March 29th. First order of business is approval of the minutes. Representative Vogel moves approval of the minutes dated March 28th. Is there any corrections, changes, or additions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members, the first bill on the agenda for today is House File 4252. The chair will move House File 4252 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Public Safety. Representative Tice, my understanding is there's an author's amendment that you'd like moved, the A1 amendment, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is.
Chair will move the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. Representative Tice, to your bill.
Chairs and members, House File, which one have we seen? 4252 is a clone bill of House File 4023 that's heard in public safety on Tuesday. This bill is similar to the bill we passed last year in response to the building collapse in Fergus Falls. That bill required all construction plans for places of assembly with an occupant load over 200 in areas that have not adopted a building code to be reviewed and permitted by the Department of Labor and Industry. What we have found is that many of these places do not even know they need to submit plans for a permit. So they just go ahead and build and or remodel old barns for use as wedding venues. Once built, the state building official looks at these existing non-conforming and no code enforcement from his department is conducted. Representative Howe attended a wedding last year near Hinckley that was in a newly constructed barn built for weddings. It was very nice. It was a very nice setting, and the barn was in Roxon lumber. As he looked around, he noticed no fire alarm, no panic hardware on the doors. The loft had one way up and down. The kitchen was under the stairs and the loft area. No exit signs or emergency lights. He and his wife sat right next to the door they came into to ensure that they would be able to get out in case something happened. And this was one of the better places that are out there. This bill puts in place a requirement for the state fire marshal to inspect these occupancies every 3 years, with the funding coming from a fee charged to the place of assembly. We are working with the Hospitality Association and the Chamber to narrow the scope of the bill as much as possible. The bill already exempts churches, places that prohibit alcohol, and service clubs such as Legions and VFWs. Mr. Chair, with that, I would like to call on my first testifier, Mr. Randy Schmitz.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Schmitz. I'm the owner of the wedding venue called Rolling Ridge Wedding Event Center in St. Joseph by St. Cloud. Our small family business has employees, and our business provides revenue opportunities for other businesses like caterers, photographers, and local restaurant and lodging facilities. I'm here today to show my support of the legislation providing funding to inspect these existing places of public accommodation for fire code compliance. With the revenue to support these inspections provided by the fees collected by these businesses for these inspections. We've hosted hundreds of events at our facility, and I understand the event industry pretty well. I'm a licensed building contractor, and I was the general contractor responsible for getting our certificate of occupancy to use our buildings for public place of accommodation. It took almost 3 years of planning to develop this plan so that it met the codes that we were required to follow. I had to prove it to the bank that it could be financially sound business plan and had to make sure I could properly insure these buildings for their intended use. Before our first guests could even step foot in our barn, we needed to make sure at a minimum our buildings complied with the following 7 code areas. The state building code, which required our buildings to be engineered with certified plans for all the structures on our property. This ensured our buildings that were originally designed for static loads such as hay in the barn could be properly suited to handle live loads such as people dancing and for the snow and wind loads. The state mechanical code, we had to provide 8 oversized furnace and AC units to provide the proper ventilation. Plumbing code required us to have 12 toilets, 8 sinks. Accessibility code, we were required to make sure everybody could enter and escape in an emergency. So we actually ended up hiring a company to lift our entire barn from its 120-year-old foundation and moved it approximately 100 feet to a new footing that was accessible. Energy code required us to insulate and climate control all of our buildings, even though we were a seasonal business. Electric code, we had to bring in a new 800-amp service. We had to completely cover our barn every night with plastic after construction so that the wires wouldn't get wet. And then lastly, the state fire code required us to install fire suppression, fire alarms, lighted exit signs, exit doors, special footings with breakaway bars by the doors because our sliding barn doors weren't suitable, fire dampers, fire-rated doors, and firewalls in several locations. We questioned every code requirement before we moved forward. We discussed the code with local and state officials, and they assured us these codes were mandatory and that every venue would be required to follow these rules. We've operated this business for 3 years now, and we know of more than 100 new venues that have opened up since this time. I know many of these venues are not even close to following the code. We're aware of these venues because our couples who don't book our venue usually tell us where they end up booking their wedding. Anyone who's been to a wedding probably knows that there's food, beverages, flammable decorations, and lots of photos. So a simple visit to these businesses' Facebook pages and websites, and you have instant proof of all the above-mentioned things. I have images from inside many of these buildings because I've personally visited several of them, and it's pretty scary. Barns where you can see through the roof, the floor moving up and down several inches during the dance. I even met with a venue owner who told me that they have to ban certain songs because the barn floor shifts to the point of snapping the electrical conduits in the basement below. So here's what's going on. Many of these existing properties came into existence because they had a barn. They painted it, mowed the grass, and held a wedding for a family member. At this wedding, several people asked if they could have a wedding there, and soon they found out the revenue potential, and instantly they were in business without an occupancy permit. Others have simply built a shed or a barn with a permit but listed the use as a storage building or an ag building or a workshop, and then soon after the building became a business and is used for the event business. During the process of reconstruction, I learned the importance of following the codes. I've been reminded this time and time again when I see evidence of lost lives as a result of improper or missing fire safety equipment. The Station Nightclub fire in Rhode Island is an example where hundreds of lives were lost and several more injured. And this is something that I feel could happen in event venues across Minnesota. All right. Anything else here? Anyway, I worry about friends and grandparents, co-workers who are invited to these weddings and pressured to attend these weddings at establishments, assuming these buildings are safe because it is a business. So what if one of these structures collapses when people start dancing or it starts on fire when it's full of wedding guests? Dry wooden structures, hay bales, fabric, dried flowers, and decorations just ready to burst into flames. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee representative. My name is Wayne Butt, and along with my wife, Angie Butt, we own the historic John P. Ferber Farm in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, a disabled veteran-owned business. I speak only of barns, as that is what I have learned over the last 4 years. Other venues such as country club, golf courses, churches, halls, etc., are all at equal risk as I've seen them in person. My colleague, Representative Tony Juergens, will be attending his daughter's wedding at our barn venue this May. He and other representatives and senators in my district have seen firsthand how things are done right. I have lived with the following phrase from my job at an A&W restaurant through my entire working career: do it right the first time, because when are you going to find time to do it right the second time? The jobs created from our venue is as large as it goes, from our family to the catering company to the hotel staff and all the folks hired for floral, photography, decorations, transportation, and desserts. If a barn venue burns down, the industry will take a nosedive to couples not wanting to book such an event and crushing our dream, the one we did right the first time. I am focused on the long-term sustainability of a barn venue that will stand longer than I, not for the short term of these fly-by-night venues that have no idea what they've gotten themselves into. The clock is ticking. Please do all you can to protect the lives of innocent family members and friends attending weddings or celebrations. Be proactive in making it equally obtainable statewide to open a venue following the building and fire codes to a T. It is the law and needs to be enforced. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Tice, did you have any other invited testifiers?
No, I do not.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion. Move to member questions and comments. Any questions or comments from the committee? Pretty straightforward. Representative Tice, any closing comments?
Thank you.
With that, the chair renews his motion to have House File 4252 as amended recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Public Safety. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Ms. Representative Tice and our testifiers.
Thank you.
Representative O'Neill. Representative O'Neill moves House File 4254. Be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4254 is the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council bill, and this is an advisory council of all the industries that have to do with unemployment insurance, and I actually have Rick Caligiuri here today, who will give you the insight of what's in this bill. It's not a whole lot this time, but we will tell you what's in it.
Mr. Caligiuri, before we call on you, am I correct in saying that everything in this bill is consensus items that have been agreed to by the UI Task Force?
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
To the author or to Mr. Caligiuri, are you aware of any opponents of this bill or provisions in this bill?
Mr. Chair, we are not.
Mr. Caligiuri.
The whole process we have at the council, labor, business, everybody's at the table. If anything is controversial, we drop it. There's nothing controversial here. This was agreed upon by legal aid, labor, Minnesota Chamber, all the entities at the table.
Unions.
No. I'm following the advice of Representative Mahoney when he ran this committee. So, Mr. Caligiuri, did you wish to add anything?
Mr. Chair, I'm just here to answer any questions.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to testify in this bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member questions and comments. Seeing none, Representative O'Neill, any closing comments?
I just thank you for your support to move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, Representative O'Neill renews her motion to have House File 4254 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. Representative O'Neill, Mr. Caligiuri, great to see you. Thanks for being here. Final bill on the agenda for today is House File 3873, Representative Albright.
Who's a co-sponsor on this?
Representative Mahoney moves House File 3873 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Albright, similar questions as I had on the UI bill. Is this a consensus item from the Workers' Comp Advisory Task Force? Is there anything controversial in it that has been opposed by the stakeholders?
Yes, no. East of the Valley.
Thank you. Representative Albright, to your bill.
This is the annual work comp bill. Representative Mahoney and I support the bill. There are no objections. Please support the bill.
This is a public hearing. Is there any member of the public wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member comments or questions. Representative Mahoney, do you wish to make any statements on the bill? Representative Mahoney.
Members, I will be very, very brief. I want the council to understand that I am now up to four members who are looking for a way to do PTSD, and they're willing to put an amendment bipartisanly. I have not, because I'm a member of the committee, but there are other members out there that understand what you have not done. And if you don't do it, it will be done for you, and that's not good for this particular committee.
Any other questions or comments? Representative Albright, any closing comments?
No.
With that, Representative Mahoney renews his motion to have House File 3873 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The bill is adopted. Members, have an enjoyable and safe recess. We'll see you afterwards. The committee is adjourned.